In the book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 37, Jesus Christ commands us to watch. He says there in verse 37, "And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." Very straightforward, watch. Now, many translations, as it does in my New King James, they put an exclamation mark after the word watch. They do this because they're conveying the force that this command that Jesus Christ gives really has. He says, watch. The Greek word translated watch is Gregoria, and it is it's in the imperative mood, at least according to Strong's. It expresses a command by order and authority of the one who is commanding. So this is an unequivocal command to all by the order of our authority, Jesus Christ. And because of that, it requires strict attention on our part and obedience by you and I. Are we obeying Christ's command to watch? Do we know what Christ is commanding us to do? Are we sure? Or might we be interpreting Christ's command in a wrong way? Or maybe not in fully the way he intended it to be? Because this being a direct and emphatic command from Jesus Christ, we can safely say it is vital for us to know exactly what Jesus Christ is telling us to watch. You see, Christ uses the Greek word here, watch, 14 times in the Gospels. So what does he expect of you and I as his disciples when he is telling us to watch? We're to watch. But watch what? Watch what? So to get a clear picture of what he means by this word, we want to notice the context of some of the times that he commands us to watch. We're going to start in the book of Matthew, verse 24, and verse 42. Chapter 24, Matthew, verse 42. He says, "Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect." Now, notice in these verses what is unknown. Notice what we are to be ready for. We don't know when Christ is going to return. We do know that Christ says that we have to be ready. Therefore, he tells us to watch. Matthew 25 and verse 13. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Again, what are we to be watching for? We're to be watching for the Son of Man to be coming. And then Mark 13, the book of Mark, chapter 13, beginning in verse 34. Mark 13, verse 34, he says, "It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you know not when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch, that we started out with. So you notice one different thing here. Who is commanded in this scripture to watch? It says the doorman. I think the King James says the porter. So this is the one that is responsible for who comes and goes out of the house. Hold your place and go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So God says those who are in positions within, let's put it this way, the church, in the ministry, are responsible for watching out for your souls. That's part of the responsibility God gives to the ministry. Let's go back now to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. In verse 37. Luke 12:37. It says, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Now he's saying the servants must be watching. Assuredly I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So, God's called and chosen, the servants. They are to be watching. No matter when the master returns, they've got to be watching. What have they got to be ready for? What have they got to be watching? Have they got to be watching the door to see when the master comes through the door? Does that mean they're ready? Well, what are the two clear thoughts we find running through these few scriptures that we've just read when Christ says to watch? Two things. First, we don't know when Christ will return. Although we hear people occasionally rising up and saying they know. No, they don't know. Nobody knows when Christ is coming. Only the Father. Only the Father. The second thing that we learn from these is that we should be watching so that we are ready when He returns, no matter when that happens. Keep those thoughts in mind as we go through this today. Let me ask a question. When does Christ return for any one of us? Well, I'll answer that with another question. Do any of us know when we're going to die? You see, that's when Christ is going to return for us. Consider, all those who have already died have, in a sense, had Christ already returned to them. Because in the next moment of their conscious existence, unaware of even thousands of years having gone by, they're going to be rising to meet Christ in the air. For you and I, alive today, Christ's return will also be at our next conscious moment, either when we die or when we're changed at the resurrection. Again, do we know, can we know when we're going to die? No, we cannot. Could be today. I could be killed on the way home in an automobile accident. I could die in my sleep tonight. We just don't know. How many of God's faithful have died unexpectedly? Every one of you probably knows somebody who died in the faith, but died suddenly, unexpectedly. For them, Christ's return came suddenly, didn't it? They're asleep. When they wake up, Christ is there. They knew neither the day nor the hour. Neither do we. That is why watching is serious business. And it's necessary for our being ready for Christ's immediate return whenever that happens in our lives. While these verses show us that Christ commands us to watch in a way that prepares us for His return, He still doesn't tell us what that means. Thankfully, Jesus Christ, He practices what He preaches. By His example, Christ shows us what He means when He tells us to watch. And as we're told in 1 Peter 2:22, we are to follow Christ's example. So let's notice some of the other 14 uses of the word watch that Jesus Christ uses in the gospel. Here in Matthew, back to Matthew chapter 26, Matthew 26 and verse 38. These are familiar scriptures because we just went through these during the spring holy days. Matthew 26 and verse 38. This was Christ and the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 38, then He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." He says, "Stay here and watch with Me." He went a little farther and He fell on His face and He prayed, saying, "Oh, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." I think Mr. Shaby went through these scriptures in the sermon we heard from him recently. Then He came to the disciples and He found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with Me 1 hour?" In verse 41, He says, "Watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time He went away and He prayed, saying, "Oh, My Father, if the cup cannot pass away from Me unless I drink it, Your will be done." And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. In verse 44, so He left them. He went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then He came to His disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, My betrayer is at hand." You can go to Mark chapter 14, verses 34 through 39, where Christ again says, it's written a little differently, but He uses, I think, three more times He uses the word watch. So we see that Jesus Christ is watching, and He's asking His disciples to watch along with Him. Just as He commands us to watch, to be prepared for the biggest event in our lives, He watched to be prepared for the biggest event in His life, His human life. But yet, as we see from these scriptures, His disciples, they didn't watch. Instead, they slept. They slept. A valuable lesson for you and I is to contemplate. They slept while Jesus Christ watched. You see, they didn't prepare. And as a consequence, they failed miserably. What did Jesus Christ do while watching that the disciples did not do? How did He watch? Well, we see that His watching was a spiritual preparation that in this case consisted of intense prayer. That's what He was doing to prepare Himself for watching himself for what was coming. On a broader scale, he spent his whole life watching his human nature so closely that he never sinned. As we're told in Hebrews 4:15, he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. No sin. Let's go to the book of Luke now. Let's read Luke's account of those last hours that Jesus Christ spent. Because Luke shows us something that took place that night in the garden that is something we really need to contemplate. Luke 22, beginning in verse 41. He says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." And notice verse 44. "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." So we see that Christ raised his watching. He intensified his watching to the extreme, to the point that he was sweating blood. How intense is that? By his example, Jesus Christ shows us that watching is about spiritual preparation. Spiritual preparation. Revelation chapter 16. He stresses the same point in the last time in the Bible that Christ uses the word watch. Revelation 16 and verse 15. Revelation 16 and verse 15, the words of Jesus Christ, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Just as he does in the many verses that we've already read, he again warns us that he comes as a thief. He comes in a day and an hour that we don't know. What is he emphasizing in this one scripture that you and I are to be watching? He says we're to be watching our garments. What's the first thing people see about us when they meet us? Our garments. What we're wearing. So, speaking spiritually, our garments represent what others see in us. It represents our character. You know what the saying is? You only have one chance to make a good first impression. When people see you walk into a place, the first thing they notice is what you're wearing. And from that, they're going to make an impression. Good or bad, they're going to be making an impression of the type of person that you are. It's all surface, of course. They don't know your heart or anything about you. That's the first thing they see. Ephesians chapter 5. What should you and I, what should our garments look like? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27. This is what our garments should look like. Verse 27, "That he might present her," the church, you and I, "to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." We are to be removing every spot and wrinkle from our garments, from our character. 2 Peter 3 and verse 14 says, "We are to be without spot and blameless." James 5:2 says our garments are not to be moth-eaten. They're not to be filled with holes. This is what the garment, the spiritual character that you and I have on, has to look like. Let's go to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation 16. I'm sorry, we've been there. Revelation 16, 15. What he is showing by his example is that this watching that Christ is talking about, it's a spiritual watching. It's a spiritual preparation. He consistently links watching to his return. You don't find any other hint of anything else when Christ uses the word to watch. Revelation. That's where I wanted to go. Revelation 3:3. In Revelation 3:3, one of the letters to the churches, he underscores that watching is required for spiritual preparation. Revelation 3 and verse 3 says, "Remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." So we see that when Christ says to watch, he is commanding us to be spiritually prepared for his return, no matter how sudden or how unexpected that return may be in our individual lives. So this kind of watching that Christ commands requires diligent, focused, daily activity. This isn't something that we just casually look out the window to see if there's anything out there. No, we've got to be intently focused, diligent in what we're watching for. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Some of us were talking about this before service today. This world is filled, I mean literally filled, with distractions, with things that are going to take our focus away from the things that God wants us to focus on. When you and I step outside these doors, the world is upon us. We have no safety of being together as God's people, with God's Spirit here among us. The world is waiting for us to come out so Satan can use the world to distract us, to take us away from the things that God wants to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 35. He says, "And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord without distraction." So think of the things in your own personal life that Satan and the world will use to distract you. Thought of anything? I'm sure if you're like me, things come flooding into your mind because there's so much. So what is it that can distract us from watching our spiritual preparedness? There's many things, but one way that some are distracted is by, get this, misapplying the concept of watching. How does that happen? Let's go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Let's spend a little time here in Luke because it's an important chapter with a lot to teach us about what we are to watch. Luke 21. I'm going to start by reading verse 36. Luke 21, 36. "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." How many times have you and I read that scripture? What does it mean to you? What is it telling you? Many people believe that this verse instructs us to watch world events and prophecy, and that's all they focus on. And by doing that, they miss a vital part of what Jesus Christ is saying for us to watch. We've all known people in the church that could talk about nothing else but prophecy. Because of that, they spend an inordinate amount of their time trying to understand, trying to interpret prophetic subjects. And in doing so, they believe that they're doing the right thing to properly prepare for the return of Jesus Christ. But what have we seen so far that Christ speaks about when he talks about watching? Is it all about the physical preparation? All about knowing the movements of nations? Who's this identified in Scripture? Who's that identified in Scripture? Is that what Christ says to be watching? No, Christ is talking about our spiritual preparation. So, here in 26, why would he change the meaning of watch in this one place? He wouldn't. He didn't. Rather, people have added their own private interpretation to this scripture that distracts from the imperative of Christ's warning about what we are to be watching. I want to show you that. The word, the Greek word used here in 21:36 for watch is akrumeno. I don't know how it's pronounced. A-G-R-U-P-E-P-N-E-O. I can't get that tongue movement with that, those words. This appears four times in the New Testament. Twice it's used by Christ, twice used by Paul. Luke 21:36 is one place. Let's go to the others. Mark 13 and verse 33. Mark 13 and verse 33. Notice how the word watch is used here. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Watch. Watch and pray. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Think about that one for a moment. Then the last one in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. All those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So these are the other three places that this word is used for watch. Now when you think about what it's saying with this word in these four scriptures, including Luke 21:36, we can see that the subject is spiritual, just like in the other places we've looked at the word watch. You would have to read into them that they are referring to just watching world events. It's not there. But some people want to think it is. Luke 21:36 is no different. Let's go back there because we want to delve a little deeper into this. Luke 21, again. Let's read verses 35 or 34 and 35 of Luke 21. Christ says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. So, from what we just read in these two verses, is Christ talking about prophecy? Or is he talking about the human condition of sin that we allow to weigh us down? For watching to have its benefit, we've got to be watching the right thing. That's the problem with being overly attentive to prophecy. There are many and different interpretations of so many of the prophecies. At the best, all of them's wrong, but one. So if we believe one of the many wrong ones, we will be looking in the wrong direction, and we're going to be blindsided. All the time and effort spent would be for nothing, or even worse, if it caused an individual to neglect watching his spiritual condition. It's vital to focus on the spiritual rather than the physical events that are coming. This is what Jesus Christ was focused on. Luke 12. We'll be back here in Luke 21, but let's go to Luke 12. Now, these scriptures in Luke 12, verse 16 through 20, they're not about watching per se, but they do highlight the danger of having misplaced attention, of being attentive to the wrong things. Luke 12, verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns, and I'll build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Verse 20. "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Those who misapply Luke 21:36, they can be distracted. They can be spending their time on the less important and neglecting what is required. It's the same principle that we see of misplaced priorities that Jesus Christ illustrates in Matthew 23:23, where he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." So we should be aware of world events and prophecy. But our greatest energies, and I want to stress our greatest energies, have to be on delving to the weightier matters of spiritual preparation. Though Christ warned us to be aware of the signs of the times, we need to be more alert to how we are living. End time events should lead us to what? Repentance. Repentance. Not to obsess about the details of those events themselves. What if we died tonight? What value would it be if after countless hours that we spend on intensive study of the prophecies year after year, we're right. We're right about the world events. We're right about all of the prophecies. But because we neglected our spiritual state, we were found not worthy to escape what's coming upon the earth. What's our choice? What's our choice? All the time spent in looking to the future return of Christ rather than concentrating on cleaning our garments overlooks the fact that our lives could end tonight. The important question is not, are we prepared for the events leading up to Christ's future return, but rather, are we prepared for His return in our lives at this moment? That's the better question we need to be asking. That's why we need to understand and heed daily the command Christ gave us in Mark 13:37. What I say to all. Watch. Watch. But you know, we so often use familiar scriptures like Luke 21:36. We read them and we have this specific idea in our minds. When we do that, we can overlook fundamental truth or instruction that Christ is trying to show us in these passages. We become too narrowly focused on God's Word and what it's telling us. Christ in Luke 21:36 is actually giving us the essence of how we can escape the worst of the tribulation and be with Jesus Christ in God's kingdom. How is He doing that? Well, like so much of Scripture, it's helpful sometimes to look at a Scripture in context of when it is said, when it is written. The context in this case is Luke chapter 21. If you go back and read through Luke 21 for most of the chapter, Christ gives the warning signs that signal the end of the age, much like He does in Matthew 24. Luke 21:7-33 prepares us for the various physical events that we are to look for. Verses 7-19, Jesus informs us about the visible signs, the world events, which will signal that the end is near. In verses 20-24, He's still talking about these visible signs, but now specifically as it involves Jerusalem. Then in verses 25-28, He describes the cataclysmic events in the sky and on the earth that are going to herald His return, His imminent return. So through verse 28, we have Christ revealing to us the events presaging His return to the world in Jerusalem and in the sky and the earth. Notice then, verse 29 of Luke 21. Luke 21 and verse 29. Here Christ relates a parable. In the middle of all this, He gives us a parable of the fig tree. Luke 21 and verse 29. Says, then He spoke to them a parable. He said, look at the fig tree and all of the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. His return is imminent. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will by no means pass away. Now, there is a purpose that Christ puts this parable here. In verse 31, notice what it says. It says, you see, these things, in verse 31. What's that referring to? It goes back to the question that was asked in verse 7. By His disciples, when will these things be? And what is a sign there will there be when these things are about to take place? Then Christ answers that question through verses 8-28. These things are all of the events foretold to happen at the end of the age. So in this parable, Christ is providing us a perspective that we should have as we anticipate the unfolding of these previously described events in chapter 21. Consider this. A fig tree, or any fruit tree if you want to think about it. Anyone that owned a fig tree, would they spend hours and hours each day scrutinizing their fig tree to see if it's budding? Would they make the fig tree the focal point of the whole day? No, they wouldn't. An owner of a fig tree would be aware of its location. He'd know the level of health that it might be in. And he'd know the progression that it is in going through the cycle of growth. But those things wouldn't require all of his time and all of his attention, would they? You see, this parable then shows us that we should be aware of prophecy. We should keep an eye on what's happening in the world. But it does not require, it should not allow, we should not allow it to become our primary focus. In the fig tree analogy, Jesus Christ illustrates for us the balanced view that we should have toward prophecy. We must be aware of what's taking place, but we need not be over attentive. You see, some make the mistake, and yes, it can be a spiritually dangerous mistake, of ignoring the lesson that this parable is making about prophecy. Not making prophecy a major or even a sole focus that distracts us from what? From our primary spiritual responsibilities. It's so much easier to focus on prophecy. So much easier to focus on world events. So much easier to try to figure out what this means and what that means. It's easier than to use that same intense scrutiny on the evils that are lurking in our corrupt human nature. That's hard. That's hard. That's why Christ in Luke 21, he gives us ample warning to watch events happening in the world. But he definitely does not overlook that which is greatest importance, watching our spiritual state. That's what he's telling us in verses 34 and 35. Notice verse 34. What's the first word? But. But. Christ's message here in verse 34 takes a definite turn. He was going one way. Turns to go another way. He's still talking about preparing us for the end of the age, but he shifts from talking about the external events in verses 7 through 33 to the internal events. Notice the words, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts. He's no longer talking about world events, about the physical and external, but he's talking about our hearts, the spiritual, the internal. He gives a warning to those who are not spiritually aware and focused, those who are distracted. He says they'll be caught completely off guard. He says that day comes on them unexpectedly because their hearts, their minds, their thinking is misdirected. Verse 35 reemphasizes that the end will be a surprise to some people, one that Christ compares to a bird snared or trapped. Why would this happen to some people? Why? Verse 34 supplies the answer. They are burdened by the cares of this life. They're not focused on what counts. They are looking in the wrong direction. And the trap springs on them without warning. Rather than overcoming the world, they are being absorbed by the world. So between verses 8 through 33 and verses 34 and 35 in Luke 21, we can see an obvious contrast in the awareness levels we need to have regarding the physical versus the spiritual. For the physical, we are to be aware but not be consumed by them. But for the spiritual, Christ raises the level of vigilance. He says, take heed to yourselves. Be on guard. He exhorts us to be in a high state of spiritual alertness. When we use 34 and 35 as an introduction to 26, Christ commands in verse 36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that will come to pass. Stand before the Son of Man. Strong's Concordance says the Greek word used for watch here means to be sleepless, to keep awake. Frequently when the Bible mentions being asleep or tells us to wake up, it's not talking about physical. It's talking about the spiritual state. Verse 36 is a call to spiritual, not physical. God's warning to us is clear. His judgment is now on the house of God. You know the scripture well, 1 Peter 4:17. It is a judgment to what? To our spiritual state. It's not a judgment to how well we know and understand prophecy. Those who do not wake up spiritually, eventually, God has a 3.5-year plan that's guaranteed to get our attention. But the good news, brethren, even though we can't change the events that God has prophesied will come upon the world, because what God has ordained will happen, nothing's going to change that. We can only change how spiritually strong you and I are going to be in order to endure the things that are coming. But you see, we are, as we're told in Hebrews 10:39, we're not of those who draw back to perdition or destruction. We are of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We are heeding Christ's instructions to watch. We are making our calling and election sure, so that we can be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of God. We are watching.